This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. The sermon this week is titled, Lord, Send the Rain, and was offered by Pastor Jeff Lamont. It was recorded on January 12th, 2020. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
Father, I just thank you for this time and opportunity. I just pray right now, Lord, you'd open all of our hearts to receive fully from you what you have to speak to us today. Lord, there are things you want to show us today. There are dimensions of worship and freedom and liberty in you that you still want us to enter into that we haven't yet entered into. Lord, would you just hide me behind your cross? Jesus, just speak through me this morning. Give me the words to say. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. Just bless this time, Lord. May we all grow and learn and continue to seek you more fully in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. I want to share a message this morning that I'm entitling, Lord, Send the Rain. Last 2 days, kind of a sign and confirmation, the last 2 days I've been working on this message, actually, and it's rained almost the whole day, the last 2 days, which was kind of interesting to me. And I've had this concept of water and rain on my heart for many days. How many of you have been burdened by or praying for the situation in Australia? Many of you have seen some of the videos and heard 18 million acres of land burned in fires in Australia. The church worldwide literally is praying for Australia. Millions of animals have died. My daughter showed me the other day. She just was so heartbroken. A little koala that was caught in the fire. They say millions of animals have perished because of the fire. Several people have perished. 2,000 homes, I believe it is. How many of you believe we ought to be praying over that? So let's do that right now. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you'd send the rain to Australia, that you would put these fires out and stop this destruction, and somehow in the midst of it, reveal your grace and your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the things that has happened for me in leading up to the fast and in this first week of the fast has been that worship has just been really precious to me. I found myself a number of times when I just did something as simple as lift my voice and lift my hands during my prayer time and began to worship God, tears just began to stream down my face. There's certain worship songs that if I put them on, I'm just broken up in worship. Precious friend had been. My wife was having a conversation with a precious friend constantly, and this precious friend had been through the Freedom Conference and had been prayed for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and things hadn't exactly worked out like that person had hoped. And my wife said, "What about worship? What about worship? Where's your worship life?" And just encouraged in worship. And I want to encourage us in worship this morning, because I feel like it's such an incredible and important key. Tracy and I were praying the other day together, just crying out to God, and we just had a picture, and I believe this is a prophetic picture over our body for this year, 2020, and the phrase just kept coming to us, rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. I believe God wants to pour out rivers of living water upon us. My son and I were hiking in the Great Smoky Mountain National Forest here a couple of weeks ago now during Christmas, and we were hiking literally beside this beautiful river most of the hike. It was just so picturesque, so beautiful. I found myself, it was one of those nice warm days. I just wanted to get out on the rocks in the middle of the river and just relish the waters flowing past me. I asked my staff the other day, I said, what if during this 21 days, and I want to ask you this also this morning, I've got a number of questions for you today, but I want you to really think about this one with me. What if for these two final weeks of this fast, what if every single one of us, every single day, made a commitment to ask God to pour out his rivers of living water? What if every single one of us, for every single day, began to cry out and say, God, we're hungry for a move of God. Nothing else is going to satisfy, Lord. We've come to learn that. We've tried the things of this world. They haven't satisfied. So God, we're asking you for a fresh move. How many of you would commit to me today? Just by show of an upraised hand, I'm going to pray for that, Pastor Jeff. I'm going to join you and believe over these next 20 or 14 days for a fresh move of God. What would that look like? I don't know. I'm not sure what the Lord would do, but it would be good. It would be good. So join me in that. Human body. But this picture of water is something really interesting in Scripture. You know, the human body is composed, they say, of 80% water. 80% water. I'm not sure if my body's 80% water. I'm thinking more like 40% coffee, 40% water. But, you know, and then the rest, I don't know, the rest is fiesta time or something. But anyway, there's a direct correlation in Scripture with rain and what happens when we worship. And I want to try to tie that together for you this morning. I've got a picture, and boy, I'm not sure where my picture is. You know what? My picture didn't make my presentation, so you're just going to have to picture it with me. But I want to give you just a little science lesson real quick, because Scripture talks about rain, and I'm going to show you that in just a moment here in the book of Job. But rain formulates in a very interesting way, and it's basically this. The sun, got to have the sun. Sun is key. Heats the water from the ocean or streams or seas or ponds or lakes. The water turns into vapor because of the heat. The vapor rises into the sky, right? And it forms into clouds. And then the clouds get blown across the sea onto the land. And the land is cooler than the sea many times. And when it reaches a cool place, then the cloud begins to release the rain. Or if it's really cold, it can be sleet or snow. And then the rain comes down to the earth and waters the earth. And then also deposits into rivers and streams, which deposit it back into oceans. And the cycle starts over. Can you kind of picture that with me? So the heat, the sun is key. The heat heats the water. The water evaporates. The water becomes clouds. The clouds produce the rain. The rain waters the earth. The earth then takes that water back into the depositories, and then the cycle starts all over again. So I want to show you a passage in Job. I know you love the book of Job. I'm always looking for good things in the book of Job, just to try to help me get through the book of Job. By the way, it's the first book I ever read in the Bible. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me why. It's a wonder I'm still reading God's word. But anyway, Job is worshiping God toward the end of the book, toward the end of all these challenges that he's gone through, and he's come to a place of worship. And in Job chapter 36, he says this, "Look, God is greater than we can understand." How many of you can say amen to that? His years cannot be counted. He draws up the water vapor and then distills it into rain. And then the rain pours down from the clouds and everyone benefits. You didn't know there was a science lesson for how rain was made in the Word of God, did you? And there it is in the book of Job. He describes how God wants to bless us. How many of you have found rain is a blessing? It is. Your yard's burning up, or, you know, things, we go into a drought. Man, rain is one of the greatest blessings that you can possibly have. So he describes how God wants to bless us, how he pours down rain on everyone. And I want you to realize he's describing something more than just physical rain. Whenever God's speaking of rain, it's kind of in a dual nature. It's not just a physical rain, but God also wants to bring a spiritual rain, a rain of blessing, a rain of breakthrough. By the way, we've been recommending to everybody, and we have our table in the back, the book Double Blessing by Mark Batterson, one of my favorite authors. We've got a good deal on him. It's kind of our book that we're all reading together at the beginning of this year. You should pick up a copy of that. And instead of saying blessing to people, I've been saying double blessing to everybody for this year. So I want to continue this idea of rain. Amos chapter 9, verse 6. You probably have never seen this. I'd ask you to turn there, by the way, to the book of Amos. But they find statistically it takes at least 6 to 8 minutes for most Christians to even find the book of Amos. So I'll just show it to you on the screen and make it a little easier for you. It says this: the Lord's home reaches up to the heavens while its foundation is on the earth. He draws up water from the oceans and pours it down as rain on the land. The Lord is his name. There it is again. Isn't this interesting? God's behind all science, by the way. Science does not conflict with the heart or mind of God in any way, shape, or form. Hey, I'm going to give you a homework assignment because I know you guys love to study God's word. Isaiah chapter 55. I'm not going to go through that whole chapter. It's fairly lengthy, but it's a powerful chapter on this very concept and theme. And it'll also show you again what I'm saying, that whenever God's talking about something physically, there's also a spiritual dimension to it that we should understand. In Isaiah 55, if you'll read that chapter this week, you'll see that. So rain happens physically for one reason and one reason only. It's the water responds to the heat of the sun. The water responds to the heat of the sun. If the water didn't respond to the heat of the sun, then the whole process would fail. It would come to a screeching halt. It wouldn't happen. The fact that the water changes, the water responds to the heat of the sun. Remember, I'm trying to parallel what's happening in the physical and the spiritual. If the water chose not to respond, the rains wouldn't happen. But here's the good news. Water is one of the most responsive elements we have on earth. In fact, water can be found in many different forms: ice, steam, liquid, solid, gas. It takes on lots of shapes and forms. It's very responsive. But the water must respond to the heat of the sun. And I want to tie this in together this morning to worship. To worship. So let's talk a bit about worship. I feel like what God's been doing in my heart in just these 7 days, just tenderizing my heart in a new way toward worship, I feel like he'd like to do that for all of us. I don't know where you're at in your own personal worship. But let me just tell you, and I think sometimes we miss it here. Sometimes we talk a lot about reading your Bible every day, which we do talk about that a lot. Sometimes we talk about making sure you pray every day. But I think a lot of times we don't talk about make sure you worship every day. One of the reasons I love to listen to Alexis worship, and wasn't that good, her worshiping in Spanish this morning? That was awesome. You know, I can tell this young lady is a worshiper. You know, I believe that she has probably a daily habit of worship. The reason when she gets up here and it's anointed is because it's not just something she's doing on Sunday. Now, a lot of you, you're not worship leaders, so you don't think about that in your life. But here's what I'm telling you. Every day you ought to read the word, you ought to pray, and you ought to worship. And you know, Jesus talks about going to that secret place, right? And some of you, you're very unsure of your voice, you know, like me. You know, I'm a tenor. You know, I sing best 10 or more miles away. I mean, so you can't hear me. I mean, that's, you know, that's where you want me in the choir, 10 miles away. But, you know, if you're in that secret place, you can begin to sing to the Lord, not be worried about somebody else hearing you, okay? And you need to do that. Maybe it's in your car even. How many of you sing in your car? You've been caught singing in your car? Yeah, see? You can do that, or in the shower, or whatever. But worship God. Add that to a part of your daily discipline, your daily habits before God. Maybe it's just one song. Maybe you put on, you know, Spotify or Apple Music or whatever, and you've got just a certain playlist that really touches your heart. But find a place to worship, because the worship is what brings the connection. So if you choose to respond in worship, here's what I want to tell you this morning. It creates a cycle, just like that rain cycle That rain cycle goes just like this. If you choose to worship, choose to respond to God in worship, it creates a cycle of God releasing good things in your life. If you choose to respond in worship, here's what I want to tell you. God's going to bring clouds over your life. Not storm clouds. Don't get the wrong picture here. Clouds full of blessing that will rain down upon you. Double blessings. Thank you, Bill. Double blessings. And he will bring his presence. And that's what the rain really symbolizes, is God's presence. God's looking for somebody on this earth to respond to him. Amen? To truly worship him, because he truly wants to pour out his holy rain on his people. I've got a couple questions for you this morning about worship, and I just want to throw them out to you today. Maybe you have some questions about worship too. I've been in great worship environments for quite a while now as a Christian. Not really my earliest days. Those were days of hymnals, and I don't really remember worshiping much with a hymnal. But anyway, I sang a lot of songs with a lot of interesting words. I learned the word Ebenezer. That was really what I got from those days. But I've been in some really powerful worship environments. But, you know, there's questions that pop into your mind when you think about worship. The first one's this: what really happens when we worship? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever, you know, come in on Sunday and you're kind of blending in with what everybody else is doing, and you think, well, I wonder what's really happening here right now. What's happening? When I worship, what happens in heaven? When I worship, what happens in me? Is there some kind of atmospheric change that comes about? Here's another good question for you. When I'm worshiping, what is God doing while I worship? Is he engaged with me when I worship? Is it just the Holy Spirit? What happens? So we're going to dive in and see if we can answer some of those questions. Let me start by saying this. When we worship, God is pursuing us. God is pursuing you when you worship. In fact, church, he's pursuing all of us. Most of us have a story, especially if we came to Christ, you know, later in life, not as maybe a child. God, and the story is that God pursued you. I have a story like that. He met me in a special way that changed my life. I was a teenager. I was wondering about the meaning of life. I remember looking into the mirror in my mother and father's spare bathroom just one day, staring into the mirror thinking, what's life really all about? Is there an eternity? Is there an afterlife? I hadn't gone to church but just a couple of times at that point in my life. And I didn't have any faith. My parents didn't really practice any faith. I just didn't know. I didn't know. I was lost. And in high school, I started getting involved in things like existentialism, which quite honestly didn't give me any hope or meaning. It was hopeless and despairing. One day, I saw my mother's Bible sitting aside. I don't even know why it was out. I don't remember my mom ever reading it in those days, but it was a little black Bible. I picked it up. It kind of freaked me out. Tried to read it. I just was lost. I didn't understand anything. I didn't know where to read. But in the midst of all this, The Lord pursued me, because not long after that, he sends my very best friend at that time over to my house, knocks on my door carrying his Bible, shares Christ with me, and boom, my whole life was changed. God knew where I was at. God knew what I was walking through. God knew the questions I was asking. And you know, a testimony really is just your story of how God pursued you. And I'm so glad he did, because it changed my life completely. And that's how Christ found me. Now, to be honest, most of us here this morning, we have a story. We have a story. But most of us believe something that really isn't true. And that is this: that God stopped pursuing you once you became a Christian. And you know what? Nothing could be further from the truth. If you're a believer here today, he's still pursuing you. Hallelujah. He is still chasing after you. He is still pursuing your heart. Now, let me just say it like this. Religion If you've fallen into the trap of religion, and that's a bad trap to fall into, religion will teach you that, oh, God's distant and he's difficult to find and encounters with him are rare, if at all. And, you know, maybe there's a few special people out there who will have an encounter with God, but not ordinary folk like us. Let me tell you what grace teaches. Let me tell you what the Bible actually says. It says that I'm his beloved. It says that I'm a part of the bride of Christ. It says that he loves me and he is pursuing me like a groom pursues a bride before their wedding. That's what grace teaches. Grace teaches that my behavior does not keep God away from me. When I've been good or when I've messed up, you know what? God still pursues me. It's not behavior based. He loves me because of I'm one of his kids. And I never stop being his beloved or a part of his bride. And he never stops pursuing me. In fact, he pursues me as much as when I'm found as when I was lost. I love the book of 1 Corinthians. Great book and so much good stuff in there. It's one of my favorite epistles. Let me ask you a question about the book of 1 Corinthians. When Paul wrote the book of 1 Corinthians, was he writing to believers or non-believers? He's writing to believers. He's writing to the church that meets in the city of Corinth. They're believers. Now, I want to show you a passage there that's very interesting. So these are believers, but some of these believers have turned away from a simple and pure devotion to Christ. And Paul's really concerned about them. And he writes these words in this is actually 2 Corinthians 11. Love both first and he says, "For I'm jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ." Paul's pursuing these believers because God is pursuing these believers. Because God, and here's another question for you. Can God be jealous? Absolutely, when we turn away from him. Because his heart is so for us. His desire is so much for good in our lives. Now let's fast forward 2,000 years and suppose that Paul was writing to the church that meets at New Song. And Paul says to us, "I'm jealous for you, New Song, with the jealousy of God himself. I promised that the church that meets at New Song would be a pure bride to one husband, and that is Christ." God says, "I'm pursuing you. I'm chasing after you. I'm not going to let you just chase after the things that are not good for you. I want you to turn to me. I want you to respond to me in worship." God's pursuing you. He really is, and he doesn't stop after he has you. He still pursues you with passion and love. He went to elaborate measures, right, to win you in the first place. He sent his son, he sent his Holy Spirit, and he's not stopped pursuing you. One of my favorite scriptures, and it's been this one of my favorites for a long, long time, 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Is that to believers or non-believers? Sure looks like believers to me because their hearts are fully committed to him. But do you see who he's pursuing? Do you see who he's on the lookout for? You see where his eyes are searching? For people who will be fully committed to him, he's pursuing them. And he's pursuing them because he wants to pour down blessings on you. He's going to give them the rain they need. He's going to strengthen them on a daily basis. He's pursuing you when you worship. Someone who will turn their heart toward God. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for people who will truly worship. Do you see it in that scripture? That's what he's looking for. Now let me ask you a question. If God is pursuing us, the equation, we're to do our part, right? We're to seek, knock, and ask. We're to seek him with our whole hearts. We're to cry out to God. And there are many, many more scriptures. We're to pursue God. If God is pursuing us and we start to pursue God, What are the chances of a divine encounter? Just heard somebody say 100%. Absolutely. If he's pursuing us and we're pursuing him, there's going to be a divine encounter that will bring breakthrough, that will bring life change, that will, in fact, change the trajectory of your life. See, God's not difficult to find if you're truly pursuing him, because he's also pursuing you. But pastor, wait a minute. Got a question here. Aren't we supposed to walk by faith and not by sight or feelings? Yes, there is certainly a degree of that. But if he didn't want me to feel his presence, let me just say, he wouldn't have given me feelings. You hear what I'm saying? Here's the faith I have. When I truly worship him, I mean in brokenness and desperation with my whole heart, I'm crying out to God. When I truly worship him, I feel him. I feel his presence in wonderful, magnificent ways. I have faith to believe that when I want to encounter God, he will come and encounter me because he's pursuing me as I pursue him. Do you get what I'm saying this morning? I can't think of one single time in my life where I was chasing after God that I did not encounter him. Have I had some dry seasons? Oh, you know, small ones here and there. Most of the time it was because I had let go of the habits and the disciplines that needed to posture me and position me before the Lord the way I should have been. Most of the time that was more about me than about him. Second question is, how's God respond when we worship? How does he respond when we worship? Well, he responds by bringing the rain. Our response to God in worship brings the rain. There's an interesting story, and I want to kind of close with this and wrap it up with this. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are going through this city. They're preaching the gospel, and this little girl begins to follow them everywhere they go, and she begins to shout things out, and she's kind of disruptive, and Paul gets tired of it and casts the demons out of this young lady, and the town literally turns against Paul and Silas because her owners, the people who controlled her life, were no longer going to make money out of her sorcery and fortune-telling and this type of thing. So this mob rises up, gets Paul and Silas, and begins to beat them with these long, stiff rods until they're literally at the point of death in the center of this city. And then they throw them into the dungeon, into the inner dungeon, which is the worst part of the dungeon. It's the place where people are literally put when they're getting ready to be executed. And they're in stocks and chains. It's a horrible place, and it's uncomfortable, and it's difficult. Now, let me ask you a question here this morning. Had it been a good day or a bad day for Paul and Silas? You might say it was a bad day. You might say that. Acts chapter 16, look at the story. It says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. There's an interesting part of the story. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations, and all the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Wouldn't that have been something, hearing all those chains just falling off all over that prison? The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We're all here." I mean, what a scene this is. I love this scene. Why in the world did the condemned prisoners not take the opportunity to escape? The doors had flung wide open. Their chains had fell off. Why in the world did they hang around in the midst of a dingy, horrible dungeon? I'll tell you why. Because in a moment, the worst place on earth became the best place on earth because of God's presence. God's presence literally came into that dungeon. And the reason those prisoners didn't just hightail it out of there, they had never experienced anything like that before. God has come. God is here. Doesn't matter if the doors have flown open and the chains have fell off. I want to stay and see what God's going to do next. I've never been in an atmosphere, in an environment like this, where you can literally feel and sense the presence of God. The worst place on earth became the best place on earth because of God's presence. By the way, we don't read in verse 25 that Paul and Silas were praying, hey, God, man, we really want another job. Lord, would you call down fire on those folks that persecuted us today? No, not at all. In fact, Paul and Silas thought that they were the luckiest two men on earth to have suffered for Christ. Paul writes about it, by the way, elsewhere. They felt humbled and blessed and honored to suffer for Jesus the way he had publicly suffered for them. Now, when it comes to prayer, a lot of us are like, we have the kind of the college student mentality. If you've ever had a college student that you've had to drop off and leave at campus, or maybe you were that student long ago, you know, mom and dad, they pack everything up for the student. They head off together, and they get to the college, and they drop, you know, the son or daughter off, and there's tears and there's hugs. And then mom and dad drive off, and the young person jumps up and down for joy. They're free. They can't wait to experience this new life. Mom and dad are crying all the way home. They're over there shouting. And a lot of us have the same attitude toward prayer, that kind of that college student mentality. And think about that. What if that college student that didn't come home at their first break or their first long weekend, or the holidays came and the college student didn't come home, and mom and dad were sad, lonely, wanting to see their child, but instead they just get a letter each week. Dear mom and dad, having a great time at college. Need money, please send money. No need to visit, just send money. How many times do we just ask God to meet our needs? How many of us have just fallen into a routine and a rut with God where, quite honestly, there's no real intimacy, there's no real connection, there are no God encounters going on? Our prayer life's just become an empty list of needs before God. Paul and Silas didn't bring their needs, they worshiped. They pursued God. And God pursued them. And just like that rain, the sun that heats that rain, they responded in the exact right way in the midst of their circumstance and situation. And the God that was pursuing them, they were pursuing, and there was a divine encounter. And when God sends the rain, chains fall off, prison doors fling open, people get saved, heaven comes, God's presence shows up, and it's a holy moment. And I don't know about you, but that's what I'm asking for these 21 days. That God would show up in a way that's unmistakable. That we would encounter him in a newfound way. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up real quick. I want us to close just with a little bit of worship. And then we're going to have a special time of prayer after this song. But I want us to sing with all of our hearts. Don't just sing, worship. Take a step of worship. Don't just echo words. Don't just sing words off a screen. I want you to worship. I want you to step into the flow of the river of worship. I want you to come expecting an encounter with God. I want you to set the table even now for what will happen for the rest of the week, these next 2 weeks, as we lift our voices together. Would you stand with me? Let's have a holy moment. Let's ask God for an encounter. He wants to encounter you. Let me pray for you right now. Lord, I pray you would come and encounter me. I pray you to come and encounter every single person here this morning. Let your presence come, Lord. Your presence is all we really need. It's what should set us apart from every other person on the face of this earth, is the presence of God. In the Old Testament, you were the cloud by day. You were the fire by night. You opened the seas. You tore off the chains. Hands din away for your people. Lord, you delivered from the fire and from the lion's den. We really need where your presence shows up. Things happen, and we need you. We really need you. We cry out for you. We long for you. We don't want to live without you. Lord, meet us here today as we lift our voices in worship to you. In Jesus' name, let's worship together.
So, oh, how
you to do. I want you to continue this through the week. Because just as God would want to meet you here this morning and you may feel and experience His presence in this place, He wants to do the very same for you every morning in your secret place with Him. He wants to connect with you. He wants to encounter you. And it will be life-changing, and it will change the rest of your year. That's what this fast is all about, setting the pace and bringing about God's plan and purpose for the rest of your 2020. Can you give the Lord strong praise this morning? Shout praise to Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated for just a moment. We have a special time of prayer that we want to enter into. I'm going to ask Hannah to come up and bring her whole family. Bring the family, Hannah. Hannah Kessler's been here with us for a couple of years now and was a strong part of our church in an earlier season. And then she moved out of town and we lost sight of her for a while. And she came back. And, man, she's been a faithful, regular part of the early morning prayer meeting. It's just awesome to see Hannah every morning and get the privilege to pray with her and Krista. And welcome some of the family I haven't seen in a while. Sure good to see you guys. Love you all very, very much. Heidi flew all the way in from Florida today to be here. That's pretty awesome. So Hannah's getting ready. God has opened a door of blessing for her in Tampa, Florida. And sometimes one of the privileges that I get as a pastor is to pray over and send people out in a good way, you know, and I get excited about that. When God opens a door and God begins to show a path, I want us as a church to believe for blessing for those that we're sending out, and I want that person to also know that we're praying for them so that they go knowing they not only have support and blessing, but prayers. Amen? So we did this a couple of weeks ago for Jaden as Jaden was heading to college. And I wanted us to pray over and bless Hannah today. This is her last Sunday with us. She's getting ready to move. She's got a great job waiting for her. Going to be actually working in the administrative offices of the new. It's like a new what? XFL football team. Isn't that cool? That's going to be really cool. So I'm coming down to watch a game sometime. And we just want to bless her. Would you stand with me and just reach your hands out to Hannah? So, Father, Trace, do you have the microphone? All right, well, then I will pray here. So, Father, thank you so much for our dear, dear sister. And, Lord, the time we've spent with her has been precious and priceless. Lord, she's walked through some difficult days, but you've been there to encourage her, to pour your love out on her, to sustain her, and to heal her. And now, Lord, you're about to release her to this next chapter. And it's a chapter of blessing. It's a path that you've made. It's a door that you've opened. So, Lord, go before her. Be her rear guard. And, Lord, bless her as she enters into that new place of double blessing for her life. Make a way for her, God. Give her a strong family of faith that she can connect with there. Lord, give her the right friendships, the right place to live. Every detail, God, we ask for your guidance on and your blessing in. And Lord, go with her, provide for her. May she feel and sense that mighty hand of God over her life. In Jesus' strong name. And everybody said amen. Yeah. Amen. Let's give the Lord praise. We love you guys. Lord, go with us and help us to be worshipers and let your light shine through us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great day.